Isaiah chapter 65. So let's stand in honor of God's word. I'll begin reading at verse 17 and read through verse 25. You'll find it in the bulletin or on the screen. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And this is God's word. You can be seated. Well, as we read the entirety of Scripture, we see and know and understand that the ancients believed that God was creative. We see that from the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so God's people, as they were moving through time, had a growing awareness of God and all that he was doing. We have some evidence, if you go and try to put the Bible in the chronological order that it was written, that at first they were mainly just aware that God was at work in their own lives and in their own nation. And it was a common belief in those days that each nation had their own God. But by the time they were taken into captivity and found the Lord's presence still there, and the time that they were brought back, their horizons were widened out to see that God was Lord over all and could take even the kingdoms of this world and use them according to his purposes. And so the people of God knew that he was the one who had brought them up out of Egypt. They knew the history that was there. And they had high hopes at one point as a people that God was going to make them into a great nation, and it was just going to be up and to the right with no problems from then on. But perhaps they were starting to ask, "What have you done for me lately, God?" It's a typical human response. Even though it's not really fair. I mean, when God has delivered you out of slavery and set you free and given you a chance, and then now is still with you as you experience the consequences of your actions, it's not fair to say, "God, where are you?" But it happens. It's a human response. Now, maybe they got distracted. Maybe being dislocated from their home, because many of the people were taken from their homes and towns and villages and moved over to a whole other country and put in a place where they had no standing. And just knowing that someone else was there living in the home that they had built, it would eat away at you. No longer familiar surroundings or setting your own schedule. So maybe it made it too challenging to keep up the practices that kept their faith fresh. Maybe it was gradual. But by the time this text was referring to, the candle of faith was growing dim among God's people. And they needed a reminder. They needed to be reminded that their Creator God was not sleeping on the job. Amen? They needed reminding that God is often at work, even when it's not easy to see. And I'm not just talking about when a couple people at work give you the cold shoulder. These people have been through hard times for generations, all right? And some of us have brushed with that kind of experience. And in those times, it's hard to see where God is working. The ancient people, though, had this core belief to reach back on, that they believed that God was creative, that he was working all the time. And that's what Isaiah is reminding the people of. Now, we struggle in our faith sometimes, but in our day, we have a different sort of challenge, especially in the North American church and as children of the Reformation and all that's happened in the last few centuries. But we tend to think of God as fixed. Say that again. We tend to think of God as fixed. God is almost like an idea to us. Now, creeds and articles of faith, they're very important. I always have us say the Apostles' Creed on a regular basis in our church. These things provide a structure to our faith that we can be certain of what we believe and try to be as precise as we can. In the Church of the Nazarene, we review these things together every 4 years at General Assembly as we try to sharpen our statements and make them more clear. But these things alone are bones. They are a foundation. But they are bones without flesh if we don't move beyond these ideas. When we think of God as creator, it's been a tendency for Christians to focus on our belief in God as a creator. Like it's something we believe about God. We believe it on paper. We tend to focus on his actions in the past. In the past, God created. And we think that's important to understand and believe. We're very focused on believing the right things about God, and that's good. I mean, believing the right things about God is better than believing the wrong things about God, right? Amen? But if all we're doing is thinking about God, and hear me clearly, if all we're doing is thinking and talking about God, but we're not focused on knowing God, loving God, and living our faith, then something very important is missing. And in our day, in our time, we can find ourselves struggling in similar ways that our ancient counterparts did. Because we're forgetting about how the creative God wants to be at work continuously, even now. Have you forgotten? Have you let it slip into the realm of ideas? Because if you think you just got to hold on to all these ideas in a world where other ideas are constantly coming at you and you're just passively sitting there trying to hold on to what you believe, that's hard to do. But when you're knowing that God is creative and loving and present, then more is possible. And here's what Isaiah is saying and what the Lord is directly saying through Isaiah, that God was remaking this world. So let's say that together. God was remaking this world. He's writing this to people who are in captivity and things were now going to change. And by the hand of God, they were going to be brought back to a new and wonderful place. And so we have this word about making things new. Literally, the word is renewed. And so I have a slide up here. It looks a little funny because it's got a Hebrew word tucked in there. Hebrew reads in the opposite direction. It reads from right to left. So that the parts you can't understand are the word bara, from the root word bara, which means to create. All right? But it also means to refresh or renew or to make new, right? So it could be something as dramatic as you go from bald to having a full head of hair, right? Or it could be something like you got a haircut, right? And now it's renewed and it looks a whole lot better. Well, this word creating is a word that's used only with God as the subject in the Old Testament. And it's somewhere close to 60 times that it appears. So it's something that God does as God's specialty. And here we're talking about the renewing sense of that word. Creating in the sense of refreshing and reforming and making new. Because he's talking about things that have already been there. Things already present. The city of Jerusalem, right? It was already in existence. And it had been nearly wiped out and things were crumbling and it had been occupied by other armies. But now they were going to be able to renew and rebuild that city and even begin a project of rebuilding the temple. So God is saying, I'm going to make a new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem in these events that were unfolding. And so one commentator put it this way. It portrays the goal of Yahweh's plans, as then Yahweh is the Lord, the way we translate it in English, but the name of God. And so his plans, as they would be fulfilled in these chapters, Jerusalem is being rebuilt and made ready for the pilgrims who come throughout the following centuries. But here's the thing. It also refers to God's long-range project of remaking and renewing this whole world. Amen? In the fullness of the kingdom of Jesus, God is going to make all things new. And in the midst of this important time in the history of God's people, they are beginning to see the early moves of God to demonstrate his intention. Long in captivity, long held down by others, long having everything about their lives determined by others, now God is beginning to set them free again and set them on a course that shows them he loves them and he is still creating and making things new. It's a beautiful passage, and it floats in between the time that Isaiah is referring to and then into the time of future, our time, and even far into our future as well. Because it's the same move to God. You got to realize that God exists outside of our time and also within it. And so to God, it's all one big project that he undertakes. And each moment in the history of God's people, we're always completely focused and only concerned about what's going to happen in our lives in the next few days, in the next few weeks and months and years, right? That's what we're caught up in. And so often we just don't understand what's happening. But God is thinking long term. God made this world. God planted us here. And God is about the business of restoring his creation to the fullness that he had in mind. And this is powerful. So we have these descriptions of children who won't die in infancy, or of people who won't just die at a young age, and people who are going to live a very long time. This has spawned a lot of thinking of saying that this is some unique period of history where these things are happening. But I really just think it's the best that Isaiah can understand about what God is saying about how we're going to live forever. Amen? How he's going to restore us and resurrect us and give us life here in this new world that God is making. So it's powerful stuff. And God wants there to be no doubt in their minds that their lives don't have to be conquered by grief and fear and doubt anymore. They can trust that God is working in ways that will heal everything that is wrong and broken in the world and in our lives. And if he can say that to people being held captive on the eve of their return, then he can say that to you. while you wait for loved ones who are suffering and struggling, while you carry a burden for friends, while you know there are some who are not following Christ like they could in your life, you can know and trust and believe that God is still making things new. Amen? Our Creator God is our active God, even when we can't see, even when we don't understand. That's what Isaiah is saying. And so Jesus is making all things new. And so let's remind ourselves of that this morning. Let's say these words together. Jesus is making all things new. Now that's powerful. Where do I get such an idea? Well, from the book of Revelation. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. And let's read this together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Do you believe these words this morning? This impacts how we live in several ways. One basic way is we don't just think of this world as something we can trash and use up to our own pleasure. Because this is a world that God has made. And this is a world that God is wanting to make new again. Amen? And he put us in the garden to begin with to care for this place, right? Not to let it get out of control and to guide it and develop it and feed it and help it to be better than it would be on its own. But as Paul writes in his letters, there's an erosion that is taking place in our world. And it's because sin has entered our world. So I have a slightly different take on the whole global warming or climate change controversy. What Paul clearly writes is that this world is decaying because of us. Now, I'm not smart enough to know if it's because of carbon-based gases that we are releasing into the air that's destroying the environment or not. But what I do know is that it's because of us, because that's what God's word says. That it's groaning and longing, and that the creation is saying, "Look, can we get on with this project? Because as soon as all the people get saved and God restores the fullness of his kingdom, then we as the creation will be restored as well." That's what Paul writes in Romans 8. Read it for yourself. And so, this morning, let us be involved in God's project of making all things new. But let's begin at home. And let's begin in our church. Let's believe that we serve and know and love a creative God. Amen? So let's not get fixed in one way of thinking about things, in one way of doing things. Let's allow God continuously to be doing something new. So along this line, I want to introduce an experiment, a change for us. In the season of Advent that is to come. That's the season where we're remembering that Jesus is going to return to set up the fullness of his kingdom. It's a season of waiting and preparing and searching out our hearts to make sure that we are ready to celebrate Christmas in a spiritual and blessed way. So we've got some special materials, a devotional book for you to be reading in your daily life. Services will carry some themes, But I want the conversation to continue after worship. And so for the Sundays of December, we're going to begin going down the hall after church, and we're going to have a nice spread there. We got one of those Keurig coffee machines, and we'll have some special coffees that you can enjoy and some nice treats. But we'll move into a time of discussion where we go deeper in God's Word together. And I hope that that'll become a habit for us, that for a few minutes, maybe 45 minutes or so after worship, we'll essentially have Sunday school together on Sundays where we'll go deeper into God's Word. And I think that going deeper will help us to live with more focus and more clarity in our lives. And it'll give us time right after we've responded to God together in these moments to let the uplift of that feeling and the sense of connectedness to God somehow get deeper embedded into our relationships with one another. Keep reminding us that God is continuously making us new. Write this down, he said, for these words are trustworthy and true. This morning, are you trusting God with every area of your life? Most importantly, are you trusting him right now that for this moment, he is working through all the circumstances of your life, and he's putting together a project that'll be a blessing to as many people as possible. Amen? Can you allow your mind to be expanded a bit to how God wants to use us to bless the world? What we're doing on Wednesdays with the special meals and sharing them with people around us, that's a good sign of the world that is to come. Because it says here, God wants to bless you and provide for your needs and fill your life with what you need to make it, not only with sustenance, but also with spiritual life that can keep you focused as you journey. And the fact that we're offering it to our community is another sign to them that we are here for them and that God is here for them and with them as they seek to live their lives. I am making everything new, he said. Think about that. We know that Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he had a new glorious body that allowed him to do pretty amazing things. But it was still a physical body, and it was still Jesus, right? And you could see the wounds that he had still experienced on earth, and yet his body was new and more than it had been before. And he is the first fruits of the resurrection, Paul writes, that we will all experience one day. So imagine that, a world entirely made new. But I believe that somehow the way that we are connected with God now and living out his will and helping his kingdom to come now, that there are elements of what we do now that will somehow be preserved and make it into this glorious new world that God is making. What he's doing now is already making all things new. I can't wait, and I don't want to miss a moment of what God's going to do. If we believe it, but also if we trust it and live it, then God will do amazing things in our lives. I hope we're ready. I hope we're ready to step out, to serve, and to do what he is calling us to do. Because if we are, then we'll find amazing things in his glorious provision in ways we never imagined. I'm making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Trustworthy, true, all things new. Would you bow your heads? Father, for those who are here who are just getting weary with life, where it can sometimes feel like the same old on repeat, Lord, help us to know that that's really a lie to believe that. That every day and every moment is alive with possibilities because you are the Creator God. and you are still working in our lives. You are still saving lives. You are still renewing lives. You give strength to those who are growing older. You heal those who are sick. And you renew lives with purpose every day. But it's not a static thing that we can just put in our pocket. Remind us, Lord, you're on the move. It's something dynamic. It's carrying us forward into something better and more. And so help us right now, Lord, as well as we are able to see it, to just embrace life with you in its fullness. And may we let you take us from where we are to where we need to be. And in between, may we let you form us into the people we need to be so we can get to where we need to go with you. And Lord, that's to a better world, where more of our friends have hope in you, where more of the lost get found, where the church is flourishing in the ways that matter most, ways of spreading love and life and peace in Jesus. And Lord, it's about glorifying you. It's not about us. So help us to get off the throne and let you lead. And as you lead, Lord, let us follow. But Father, we thank you that you are worthy, that you are trustworthy. And so speak to us, Lord. Renew our minds and renew our hearts in this moment. With your eyes closed, if God is talking to you today, and you're ready to let go of some of those former things and forget old ways and see that God is doing something new and lean into it with him, would you just raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Thank you. This morning, if God is encouraging you and you're receiving that encouragement, bless him and thank him for it. And Holy Father, I ask that you will, in your love, just descend upon each person here through the Holy Spirit. Fill them with hope. Fill them with courage. No matter what's going on in the world, what you're up to is what matters most. And we're going to look there. We're going to look for where our lives are coming together in you. We're going to look away from doubt and fear. And we're going to move forward in faith together. And we give you thanks and praise for all that you're going to do. We believe you, Lord, and we take you at your word. In Jesus' powerful name, everyone said, amen. All right, let's stand together. Do you want to try and sing the first part of that chorus together? God is so good.